I want to read a passage of Scripture for you that conveys this idea of hope. Hope of all nations, desire of every nation, hope for all of creation, really, as we were just talking about. And some of these songs are directing us to that this one who would come is actually the hope of all of creation. That passage is found in Romans, not typically an Advent passage maybe that you're going to hear, but I think it conveys exactly what we're trying to get at. Paul says this in this letter he's writing to the churches in Rome. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, not only is creation groaning, but we ourselves are who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I think Paul is really kind of getting at what we are doing at Christmas. Most of you know that this is how your kids are at Christmas time. They're hoping for Christmas Day, and they wait for Christmas Day patiently. That describes children, right? You wait patiently for Christmas Day and all your presents and everything that's so exciting about Christmas. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You should print that out and hang it somewhere in your house to teach your kids. For if we hope for what we do not have, we're going to wait for that hope patiently. I think that's what Paul is really getting after with this word of hope. And I want to highlight what we just learned from our video about using the Hebrew word, the way it's translated in our scriptures, the two Hebrew words translated as hope. And really what Paul is saying to us in this letter that he wrote to the church in Rome is actually all of creation is waiting, just like you and I are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. And there's a lot of waiting that happens within this time of Advent, waiting for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. So as we go through this series with Advent, there's a book that I use at Christmas time. It's not written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but it's collections of things that he has written at Christmas, at Advent, whether it's a message he preached or maybe a devotional that he wrote. And in it also are some letters that he wrote from prison when he was imprisoned in Germany during World War II, because he wouldn't go along with what was taking place within many of the churches, primarily the Lutheran Church in Germany, and wouldn't follow along with what the Nazis were telling them to do, and so he ultimately was imprisoned. But this idea of hope, and what he talks about here, and I want to read it for you in just a second to give you an example of what I think Advent is really all about and why Advent is so important to the Christian church, to us as followers of Jesus, because what it's conveying. We've just sung about what it was conveying to Israel, and that same meaning of this promised one is the same thing that you and I should feel and experience, because we're still in this time of Advent. And in the midst of difficulty, as Isaiah was writing to Israel in that time, and the psalmists are writing to Israel in that time, in the midst of difficulty, he's looking for ways in which he can provide hope for these people. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a letter to his parents, and this was in 1943. By this time, things had started to change within the war. Germany, it appeared by this time, was going to be on the losing end of World War II, as what we call it now. And Germany had been bombed multiple times by Allied air forces, whether it was Britain or the U.S., and there were a lot of ruins all around Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Not only that, but he was in a prison cell and not with his family. And it's this letter that he wrote is dated November 29th, 1943, from what was Tegel Prison. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was eventually executed before Hitler died. He had him executed. But he writes something specific about Advent, something that I think captures what Advent really means and why Christmas, when we think about Christmas and we think about the spirit of Christmas, we hear songs about it here in the United States. I can only speak for the culture in which I live in. We've talked about this different spirit that happens around Christmas. Why is it that way, and what does it mean? So Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes this to his parents on November 29th, 1943, from his prison cell. We can and should also celebrate Christmas despite the ruins around us. Despite everything we see, he is saying to his parents, despite everything I'm feeling, despite the difficulty that it would be for us to celebrate Christmas in the midst of a war, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is encouraging his family, his parents, that we can and we should celebrate Christmas in the midst of the ruins around us. I think of you as you now sit together, he writes, with the children and with all the Advent decorations, as in earlier years you did with us. And now he's reminiscing. We must do all of this, he says. We must do all of this even more intensively because we do not know how much longer we have. Dietrich is encouraging his mom and dad to not only celebrate Christmas, but do all the things we've always done and do it even more intensely because of what I think Advent conveys to the human spirit, to the human soul. He says, in the midst of the ruins, it's that much more important that you celebrate Christmas because it's in the midst of these ruins that we find hope. Christmas is conveying a sense of hope to humanity. In fact, Paul would say, it's conveying a sense of hope for all of creation, as creation itself awaits for God to make all things new again. The two Hebrew words that were used in our video to describe the English word hope was yachal and kavah. Now, each of those words we translate hope in our English Bibles actually are translated a little bit differently from the Hebrew. So now I need you to answer what that is. This is your part where you're paying attention. Vince has already texted me this morning. I use my phone now to advance slides, so Vince was already texting me. If you're at home and you want to text me the answer, go ahead and text me the answer. They said yachal would be translated what? To wait for. So when we hear that word being used, and the one scripture verse that they used was actually out of the book of Psalms, and they reference Psalm 39, verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? Or their translation, but now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. My yachal is in you. He's waiting for God to show up. So the Hebrew word yachal that we would translate hope has this idea, conveys this idea of to wait for. Now, the second one was kavah. Kavah was what? A sense of what? If you remember the video, they had ropes being pulled tight and they snapped. So it was conveying this idea of tension, this tension with expectation followed. You're expecting something to happen. It's this tense moment when these two ropes are being pulled and then suddenly it rips. And so the other Hebrew word that's used for hope is a tense expectation, this sense that something is going to take place. And that, I mean, perfectly describes most kids at Christmas. My girls are already got a countdown. Thanksgiving's over. Now it's time for the countdown for Christmas. We got our Advent calendar. There's this expectation, and it's exciting. And every day you put pull out the little number and there's chocolate there. There's something special about it. You find this and it's all leading up to this one day. They're all waiting for, we're all waiting for Christmas Day, Christmas morning, and the joy that that brings, the hope that it should instill in us. On December 24th, when the sun goes down and the clock turns to midnight, it doesn't matter what's going on in our world, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, Christmas morning is that next day. Nothing can stop it from coming. It's this sense, this tense expectation that we wait for this day for something special to happen. And then when that day is over, and you open the presents, and there's just trash laying all over the place, there's toys laying everywhere, the clothes that you got are laying somewhere, you've had your meal with your family, and now there's dishes everywhere, and surprisingly everybody's gone, and who's here to do the dishes? And this tense expectation, this whole thing we've been waiting for, just kind of like blows out of us. Now what do we have? Well, Christian hope, this thing that we're waiting for, this expectation that we have is not based on just a particular day, as much as we make it about that day. It's not based on whatever's happening around us. Maybe many of your Thanksgiving days were different this year. Maybe your Christmas day is going to be different this year. Maybe tomorrow doesn't look that much better than what today was. But Christian hope is not based on circumstances, the situation we find ourselves in. It's not simply based on being positive about a better tomorrow. Christian hope is based on a choice that we make to wait for what God is going to do, with this tense expectation that God will fulfill his promise. And what is it that we're waiting for? Is it that better tomorrow? Well, in Israel's day, as Isaiah's writing this, what I read for you, that better tomorrow didn't come for a pretty long time. So what should we be waiting for? Is it just simply trying to turn everything around to put a positive spin on everything that's happening? I'm not saying don't be positive, don't have a positive attitude. But sometimes it's really hard to find that silver lining in a situation or a circumstance. What is it we're waiting for? Are we putting our hope in some kind of better tomorrow, something that's just going to change our circumstance? Are we putting our hope in a person? That's what the video was conveying to us as they moved from the Old Testament words of Yachal and Kavah to El Pis. And Peter calls it a living hope. Our hope is based on the birth of Jesus and what that means, that God would put on flesh and walk among us, be born in this tiny little town, in this small town, in a manger and simple means, and grow up in a no-name town in Nazareth and live the life that we couldn't live and die in our stead and rise again and leave and promise that he would return. Our hope is not based on simply a better tomorrow. Our hope is based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as we look back to that day at Christmas, as we're reminded of that day, that special day that the church all over the planet celebrates and recognizes, of the birth of Jesus, as we look back at that fulfilled promise that God made, we can look forward in hope that God will fulfill that promise again. And now we wait. We wait as all of creation waits for God to make all things new. The second advent of Jesus is coming. Our hope is not built simply on what our world looks like and what our current situation is. What's exciting about Christmas morning is that God fulfilled his promise in the person of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have hope. Let's be reminded by what Paul says. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. All of creation is waiting in hope for the return of Jesus. And just as parents wait for the coming of their child, this waiting takes some time. But it's this tense expectation of the birth of this child. Creation itself is waiting for this. It's this tense expectation that God is going to restore all of creation, but not only creation, but he's going to restore us as well. And he has promised to do that, and he has given us a down payment of that. Because Paul puts it this way, "But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." We are still in this waiting pattern. And God said, so that you can believe in and hope in what I have promised, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, who communicates and conveys this sense of hope in us as a down payment for what is to come. Paul says it in another place, you are going to be a new creation, a new humanity God is creating, and it started on Christmas morning when in Jesus we can be made new. For in this hope we were saved. In this hope of what God has done in Christ, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's what we're trying to tell our kids to do for Christmas morning. Wait for it patiently. It's pretty hard. And there's a sense that Paul is saying, there is just going to be some waiting involved with the hope that we're looking for, the hope that we have. It's just the way it is right now. There's this waiting time. Israel knew what that was all about as they waited for the promised one, the Messiah who would come. They're looking for him. And now we're doing that same thing. We're waiting for the promised Messiah to return. That's an important concept that Christian hope is conveying to us as followers of Jesus. Because this waiting can be pretty difficult. Ask any kid who's waiting for Christmas. It's hard to be patient and wait. And in fact, the things that we see can become pretty distorted. And if you're in a very difficult circumstance, if you're sitting in a prison in Germany in 1943, your situation can feel and seem pretty hopeless. And yet the encouragement that Dietrich gives to his mom and dad is to celebrate Christmas all the more intensely this year. Because Christmas conveys a sense of hope. There is no such thing as hopelessness with the follower of Jesus. And even in the midst of a Nazi prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes of hope. When what we see becomes distorted, Paul says, who hopes for in what they see? Christmas helps us restore our hope in the promise to all of creation and to us that God will make all things new again in Christ. When we base all of Christmas and its celebrations on family gatherings, this Christmas will be difficult for many people. Because many families might not gather together, but should your Christmas celebration be any less hopeful? No, it shouldn't. Christmas helps restore hope. It doesn't give us a sense of hopelessness. It gives us a greater sense of hope, and all the more this year when maybe we don't get to sit with our family that we usually get to sit with. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer is writing to his parents, and he's remembering sitting in their home and all the decorations around and sharing stories and getting ready to open gifts up. And maybe that's not going to be your experience this year either. But that's all the more reason to celebrate Christmas more intensely. Because what we are telling the world through our celebrations, what we are restoring within our own hearts, is a sense of hope. That we look back at what God has done in sending His Son. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And we look back at that fulfilled promise, and we look towards the future with hope. Not just because we're looking for a better tomorrow, but because God has promised a better future that we as followers of Jesus experience through knowing Him. When what we see becomes distorted and we feel hopeless, Advent, Christmas, that candle burning reminds us of the hope and the promise to all of creation, to you and me, that God will make all things new through Christ. I've defined hope in this way. Hope for us as followers of Jesus, what that candle is supposed to represent, what we as the church are supposed to convey to the world around us, this attitude that we're supposed to carry within ourselves at Christmas is this: a patient fortitude, patient strength, or patient endurance to bear up under the pressure of this present age in eager expectation for the coming of Christ. That's what hope means. We patiently endure. We have this strength in us that under the pressures of the world, under the pressures of our current time, under the pressures of COVID, we eagerly expect and await the coming of Christ at Christmas. And we eagerly expect and await the coming of Christ again when He returns for His second advent. We are still in this waiting period. But what Jesus offers us is not some meaningless hope that's placed in a day. As special as that day only points us to the one that we should place our hope in. As Peter says, Jesus makes us new creations into a living hope that doesn't spoil or fade in this world. But this hope is found in the birth of Jesus, His life, His death, and His resurrection. And Christmas morning is that reminder. That candle reminds us that we can have hope, an eager expectation of Jesus' return. Let's pray. Lord God, we do give You thanks for the hope that is found in knowing Your Son, Jesus. God, we give You thanks that every Christmas morning we can celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has come. Lord, our hope is not simply in this better tomorrow, but our hope is placed and found in a person. That person is Your Son. Lord, as we maybe will experience Christmas in a little bit different of a way this year, maybe we won't have all the normal celebrations, all the normal gatherings, all the normal parties, Lord. Lord, I pray that this still might be a year where we celebrate Christmas all the more intensely because of what's going on around us, so that we might convey to the world, so that we might restore within ourselves this sense of hope, this living hope that Jesus offers to us when He comes on Christmas morning. We pray it in His name. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to sing to close, and we're going to sing a song called Living Hope. It's not necessarily a Christmas song, but I want to read for you a scripture first. It's found in Psalm 33, and it's verse 20 through 22. And it says this: "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Our hope is placed in Jesus, who didn't just stay in that manger, but lived the life we couldn't, died in our stead, and He rose again, and now He offers us a new and living hope that won't spoil or fade in this world. Let's stand together and sing about this living hope. That is what the hope of Christmas is all about. Christmas morning is about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And our hope is in Him, not our circumstances, not a better tomorrow, but in the coming of Christ at Christmas, in the coming of Christ again. May you go today filled with hope, and I hope that all of your celebrations are filled with hope as well. In the midst of all that's going on, may you celebrate Christmas even more intensely than you ever celebrated it before. I don't know what that looks like. That might be scary, but go and do it. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Again, if you want to pay attention to Facebook, we'll be alerting you as to how we can bless others during this season of giving. We put those slides up there, but this week we'll remind you of that. If you did bring something for the EC Church of Mexico, just hit the box at the in the lobby. Yvonne and Julie and Lydia are back there to show you what to do, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.